Thank you for joining us wherever you are. This podcast episode is brought to you by the Old Ways Actual Play Team. This actual play uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu tabletop role-playing game rules by Chaosium. This actual play is performed by adults and in an adult setting. While we try very hard to stick to language for all ages, listeners should know that this podcast may include mature themes. All content, including names, places, events, companies, and etc., that may bear resemblance to entities living or dead, is strictly coincidental. My name is Michael Diamond, and for tonight's game, I will be your keeper. Thank you for joining us again on another episode of the Old Ways Podcast. I am your keeper, Keeper Michael, and we return to Horror on the Orient Express as our investigators are continuing their experiences in Lausanne. And so, right off the top of the show, we want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank our backers for helping support the show. If you have the opportunity and would like to check out more about what we do, please stop by our Patreon page at patreon.com/theoldwayspodcast. And for now, I will turn it over to our investigators with introductions. So, to my right.
I'm Mike, and I'm playing James Robert Fraser.
Indeed he is. And to Mr. Fraser's right.
Hi, I'm Rena, and I'm playing Lady Elizabeth Fitzroy, and I've gotten into absolutely no shenanigans this morning.
Give it time, give it time. At the end of the table.
Hi, I'm Giles, and I'm playing Simon Griffith, and I'm in trouble with the cops.
Indeed you are, poking your nose in where it doesn't belong, including long, vast stairways. And to Mr. Griffith's right.
Hi, I'm Miranda, and I'm playing Maggie Bellinger, and I think I have some hot gossip for Lady Elizabeth.
You know, you very well may. Last but most certainly not least.
I'm Martin, and I'm playing Richard Courtney, and I've managed to change my trousers and wipe a slightly sticky, sugary coffee off my leg.
Are you sure those two aren't connected? So we return to Lausanne, as I mentioned. We lift the curtain tonight during the midday, where Lady Elizabeth and Professor Courtney have decided to take a slight jaunt towards the museum and library, which they've become aware of. And so this wonderful piece of Italian Renaissance architecture stretches out before you. Colonnades, steps, lots of marble. It's for the most part quiet as you approach. There is a slight fee for entrance, which of course is easily paid by you, either of you at that point. And inside there seems to be some sort of after echoes of something that had gone on here. You see that there are some staff members who are just down the way, down this large hall, which is kind of filled with sculptures and exhibits. There's a couple of staff members here who are, one's on a ladder and the other is holding this rather cumbersome Roman-era shield. Looks like they're trying to reconnect it.
Goodness. I wonder if our party's been here already.
Oh, I don't know. It seems a little lively, doesn't it?
Yes. Is everything all right? I'll say to one of the staff.
The staff member turns to you. Yes, there was a slight commotion in here. I apologize for any inconvenience, but this shield here, it tumbled off the wall.
Oh, just fell off? Does that normally happen with ancient artifacts?
He looks around. I think someone may have pulled it off the wall by accident.
Ah, yes. That makes much more sense. And I share a side glance with the professor.
Maybe someone was trying to steal it or something. I mean, it's quite a splendid piece.
Oh, I should hope not. They turn it over and you see that there's a probably a good half meter long spike on the front of it.
Oh, that would make it rather inconvenient to get away with.
Yes, quite. Not something you could put under your coat either, is it?
No.
Is there anything I can help you with? Directions, perhaps, or are you just here to enjoy the museum?
Here to enjoy the museum, mostly, seeing the sights, a little bit of tourism, and your excellent museum was highly recommended.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, there's the museum portion here, of course, and then he extends an arm down this long hallway where you see the colonnades continue, and he says, there's a library there. We've tens of thousands of books that have been collected over the years.
Ah.
Lady E's eyes just light up instantly. Ah. Library, yes, that does sound quite marvelous.
Do you have any particular specialties? Are they historical books or books on geography or mathematics?
The main thrusts of the museum are history and geography, especially Roman era.
Ah.
Well, I'm sure there's a library assistant who can assist us, so to speak.
I hope the system's a little better than that they use in France. I mean, that was appalling.
No.
I can't find a thing.
Paul is back at the hotel. Coming, Professor?
Yes. He's just looking really nervous now.
Come along. And I'm just going to set off, regardless of whether he's following me or not, because there are books.
Indeed. And so the two of you come into this portion of the building here, which encompasses the library, and there must be... Yes, tens of thousands is an understatement. And every single book is in meticulous order. And it makes up this... It's almost as if it has the feeling of looking at a piece of artwork. It's like a Fabergé egg on display.
This is fantastic. I mean, the organization here, everything looks like it's in its place. There's no disorder. All the books are lined up perfectly and...
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I'm not an artistic person, but this is surely a work of art.
Literary works of art are the best. Just happily looking around at all the books in their very neat order.
So is there anything here that you're looking for?
Well, I think we'd be perhaps looking for... Do we know the time period of the piece that we're looking for here?
No, you wouldn't know the time per se, the time period of it, although you just know that the statue pieces have been created over a period of time. It's yet unknown as to when it was originally created.
And a time more or less for a piece to be here, in other words.
Actually, you're not certain that... you'd have to check your professor. You'd probably want to check your notes from Dr. Smith on that.
Yeah, I don't seem to be able to see any reference to Lausanne here.
Perhaps we start by looking for anything on this gentleman, on the Duke and his family, perhaps?
Ah, yes. I'm interested to understand about these Turkish gentlemen with their hats, those fezes.
I'm not quite sure how much we'll find here on those specific gentlemen, but...
One wonders if there's some sort of organization. There seem to be quite a lot of them, and they're very well organized.
Well, perhaps maybe something on the occult as well. Although, if these gentlemen are associated with the Duke, perhaps, then maybe we'll find something there. Maybe he has some connections in Turkey or in Egypt.
Yes, I would be interested to understand where... Yes, his lineage, where he comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, the two of you, probably with a eager feeling between your fingertips, step out into the Lausanne library. And so, my question first is, how many hours are you prepared to dedicate to your search?
How much time do we have before we need to be meeting everyone for this bidding war?
So you believe that the 7:30 club likely meets either at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, they're roundabout. And so you need time to get ready for that. So you probably have a good 5 or 6 hours you could spend. But depending upon how much you were willing to forego, say, eating, drinking, breaks, etc.
I don't really need much in the way of creature comforts when I'm engrossed in a tome.
No.
Okay, so say a 4-hour block. Then library use rolls.
Huzzah.
It's your favorite point of the evening. It's time to search an old library.
Ooh.
03 under 75.
And I got a what is that? Is that a hard or an extreme? 1 second. Ah, that is an extreme for me as well.
Cool.
Okay. So it takes a good a couple of hours searching through this. The order is wonderful, a wonderful change for you, Richard. Everything here is done by a readable and open system where they have placed books in the proper position and order, and it flows very well. And so it really speeds up your ability to get a hold of what the two of you seemingly at the same time come pretty well on top of. You start with one at the left and one at the right, and you kind of work your way towards the middle, and eventually you hone in on a tome. It's written in German, but it really speaks to you, Lady Elizabeth, because you can feel like the old casement and the binding. There's something about this that is a little different than the rest of the books in here. And now the question is, do either of you speak any German?
I don't believe so. I have Latin and French.
No, not so much.
Do you think Paul speaks German?
Ah, yes, he may. If not, maybe there's somebody here. I mean, we're in Switzerland, wherever we are. And I'm sure we can find a translator.
So English.
I love the idea that Richard doesn't know where he's at. He's just in a library, and therefore we'll figure it out.
He's happy.
I suppose. Once you find the book, what do you plan to do with it?
I'm guessing they don't have library cards or anything here.
It doesn't. It's a museum, so likely not.
Mm-hmm. So I'll see if there is an assistant or someone who can assist with this. Maybe tell me what it's about and give me some highlights, maybe, since I can't read it myself.
Mm. Okay, yeah. You track down an assistant here in the museum library, and they seem befuddled when you show them the book. Madam, what is this? Where did you get this?
We found it on the shelf over there.
Truly?
Yes.
They open the front cover, and then they seem to almost count 1, 2, 3. They open the third page. I don't think this is the museum's book. I've never seen it before.
Oh.
It's not marked here.
Hmm.
Perhaps some wayward traveler simply just left it.
Oh, so if they left it and it doesn't belong to the library, might one take it with one?
The staff member kind of looks around. Well, it is not museum property, of course, so I could not compel you to keep it here, but I would hate to see their face when they come back and found a missing book, although there seemed to be a bit of dust on it. Perhaps it has been here for some time.
Yes, it was in a less used section, I believe.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't believe it's ours.
Well, can't have a lonely book hanging around a library. Books are meant to be read, so very well.
All right, so you're going to pocket said book?
Mm-hmm. It's mine now.
Mine. It's not necessarily in the greatest repair either. There's almost a bit of a mold smell to it. Not strong, but some.
We'll take good care of you. I whisper to the book as I put it in my bag.
Okay. You whisper to it. It whispers back. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't do that. You guys spend about, with that search there, 2 to 3 hours. So I'll leave you there for a bit, and you can think on perhaps what may become of this tome that you've somehow found. So, Mr. Griffin, you talked about making a phone call today, and as you're still somewhat recovering from the unceremonious trip down the stairs, you have had a chance to recover a little bit from the initial shock value that still rings through your head in the wondrous lobby here of the hotel. And at some point, Mr. Fraser and Miss Bellinger are likely going to come back through the lobby doors, because I would assume that the two of you are going to return to the hotel, unless you've other plans, which in which case, let me know.
Yes, Mr. Fraser does have a slight detour in mind.
Very well then. So, Mr. Griffith, then, your phone call.
Take the call in our private rooms as opposed to in the lobby, if that's possible.
Sure, of course.
And I'm going to ask to be connected to the major.
So this probably takes a good, it probably takes quite a while to set up the call. What they tell, what the front desk tells you is that if you're trying to reach London, what they will likely have to do is cable London and then give them time to build the call back towards here. And they tell you it could take anywhere between 1 to maybe 5 hours. And that's if the recipient is at the phone and available when London reaches them directly.
That's fine.
Okay.
And then I'm going to place 2 phone calls for this, mm-hmm. for them to set up this cabling. One for the Major and one for Barrington.
Okay. Very good.
And whichever one gets back to me first.
Ah. Okay. All right. So you're going to do those through what, Telegram then?
Well, I cable and then they call back.
Yeah. Effectively.
Oh, then I'll do that.
Okay. So probably around midday or so, maybe 2 o'clock, you do get the front desk calls up. This has now been a couple of hours. The front desk calls up and says that they have a call back for you.
Excellent. Could you put them through, please?
Yes, we will try. Be aware that the lines from here to there are not always very good. So your conversation may be cut short.
Appreciate it. I should only need about 10 or 15 minutes, I hope.
Oh, you hear the staff member at the front desk seem rather surprised. Well, we will, of course, make a note on the room charge.
Thank you.
So at what is likely to be an astronomical cost, the voice of Major Charles Pierce, now functionally known as Dr. Pierce, arrives on the line. It's a bit hazy and fuzzy, but you can hear his rather deep-toned voice come through.
Mr. Griffith, what is it?
Major, just wanted to reach out to you and keep apprised of what is going on. We are currently in Lausanne. We are still on the Orient Express following its route. Left Paris, where we have succeeded in what we needed to do there. And currently, we are following up on some leads here in Lausanne before we continue on again with the Express. Don't know if you have a contact here or if Barrington has one or if you want to talk to Barrington and let him know where we are because you wanted to keep the professor's whereabouts up to date. We're all here still.
I'll update the inspector. It's not something that... Listen, Scotland Yard is just going to have to deal with the fact the professor has left London. There's nothing they can do about it now. They can hem and haw, but they won't be able to reach him.
I understand. They just... The only important thing Barrington wanted was to know where the professor was, and I feel that's the least we can do. You know, just say he's in Lausanne and keep telling them where he is, you know? And whether he's alive or dead.
Of course. Your Lady Elizabeth, has she run into any social trouble there yet?
We have run into a duke here. Not any social yet, but I have a feeling it may become some such. Why is that?
No, I mean trouble from the home. The papers here are rife with something that's going on with her family.
Can you send me a telegram or anything on this, sir? Or can you summarize it?
Well, it seems that her brother is becoming embroiled in a court case which may involve her family name. There's some questions about the lineage, I'll just put it that way.
Whose lineage? Hers?
No. There's another name coming up, someone that might be in control of the family, not her brother.
I see. I will let her know.
Oh, I have no doubt she already knows.
I will let her know how bad it is getting in the papers, but do you have a contact here in Lausanne? And I am having an issue, unfortunately. I don't know if you could help pave the way for me with the local gendarmes, but apparently some woman thinks I was spying on her while she was dressing when I was trying to keep track of the Duke, and this Duke is employing Turkish men, like the ones that were in England.
Sounds very dangerous, then.
I was trying to keep an eye on him, and the gendarmes got involved because this woman said I was peeking in at her instead.
Well, if it becomes a court case there, I can definitely do something, but if it's just words thrown around on the street, it's best that I don't do anything. I don't want to... You must understand we cannot get into direct issues unless it is a critical matter.
Not asking you to. That's why I asked if you had a contact that could possibly smooth some things out.
The closest contact I have to there is in Paris, and you've already met him.
Legby?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we needed him. There was some fascist trouble.
Yes, very well. I've got to get off this line. It's going to... The costs are going to be astronomical.
Understood, sir.
Very well. Keep your head down.
Will do. Thank you very much.
The line goes dead. So, Maggie, you returned from your walk.
Oh, Mr. Fraser's plans involve Maggie, I should say.
Yes.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
They'll stuff the presses. Very well, then the two of you are walking back. We'll take it from there.
It also involves a red herring as well.
So, yes, as they take the air and enjoy the scenery and the old town in Lausanne, Mr. Fraser will ask Maggie, I don't suppose you happen to notice a particular cologne the Duke was wearing while you were speaking to him, did you?
Yes, it was quite strong.
Yes, indeed. Well, I noticed it myself when we were at the taxidermist's, and I couldn't help thinking it was had a something of a familiar scent to it. I don't know if you noticed that as well, but I was just wondering, do you think you would be able to recognize that scent if you were to smell it again?
I mean, I did spend quite a bit of time with him today, so possibly.
On our way back to the hotel, I don't suppose you'd be able to or willing to join me if we could stop off at a perfumiere and see if we can discern whether they supply this particular cologne, would you?
Yes, are you looking to purchase some for yourself, Mr. Fraser?
Oh, no, nothing like that, I assure you, no. I'll explain as we go, but it has to do with some of the proceedings with regard to Maplebrook and Lady Elizabeth.
Oh, well, of course, anything to help out?
Thank you, I very much appreciate it. Sort of keep an eye out to see if we can see a perfumier somewhere along our route back to the hotel, and if so, drop in.
We'd probably follow our noses to one.
Yeah, pretty easily. There is a row of shops not too far from the first cafe, the Chocolatier, that you went to, that deals with an array of fragrances for both men and women.
Well, perhaps they carry it here.
Yes, perhaps they do. Let's see if we could hail an assistant. I'll see if I can catch the eye of a shop assistant.
It does not take much. They are eager to come and assist you. Good day, you see a well-dressed gentleman.
Bonjour. You speak English?
We speak many languages here.
Oh, marvelous. I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to identify a particular cologne that I'm interested in. Could you possibly point us in the right direction?
Of course. Please. He turns and gestures to a very long table, which has a series of multicolored bottles and labels. And
do you have any wee testers that we can sample?
Indeed. He goes behind the counter and withdraws a long tester for both of you, one for each. Is there anything particular, perhaps a type of scent you're looking for? A light, strong, perhaps a woodsy?
Yes, indeed, there was. I don't know quite how to describe it. It was how would you describe the cologne? Would you say it was a musky or floral or...
It was strange. It had seemed to have many scents overlapping each other. It was hard to fully discern one from another.
Now the question is spot hidden good enough for nasal passage?
Smell hidden.
I believe it is, yes. I believe spot hidden is intended to cover everything except listening to things.
What's your sniffing skill percentage at, Miranda? Just wondering.
Yeah, is that based on dexterity, right? Or
it's clearly a con roll. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I think spot hidden is fine. If you want to begin, there's probably 15 bottles here that he kind of shows you a row. It's an array of scents that they have available here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to give me a spot hidden roll and see if you can track it down, we can go
something
from there.
With a bit of class, if you know what I mean. Not a regular scent, something a little bit above. Kind of look at the prices of them as well and see the things that the more expensive scents.
Sure.
No.
Just no?
No.
Okay.
Just no. I rolled a 51 over 31, but can I push the roll?
Absolutely. Why don't you tell me how you're going to push the roll?
Well, see, the problem is I think that I have, you know, when you're smelling candles and you get too many scents in your nose and it's just like too much. So I might go outside to get some fresh air, ask them if they have something that I can cleanse my nasal palate. In between a nice neutral scent between scents.
Yeah, they offer you a I don't know, I guess I would summarize, they probably offer you some sort of base to,
yeah,
maybe it'd even be like a like an alcohol of sorts, not like a like a medicinal alcohol to pull away any additional scents from. I don't know, honestly. You go outside and you get a big whiff of fresh air.
Yeah. And you kind of, you blow out a, you got to get the scents out.
You go and get some fresh air and then come back in.
So I can push the roll.
Push.
21.
Oh, yeah.
You do not find the scent here, but. By the time you get all the way to the end of the row of the bottles, you begin to smell the scent, but it's not strong here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It seems it's coming from somewhere else. Perhaps a back room.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps their chemical area.
Mm-hmm. Is this all of your scents? I smell it, but I don't smell it coming from these bottles. Perhaps you have something... a higher shelf somewhere, or...
Well, we have some scents that we keep for specific customers, but they're not generally for sale. So I apologize. I'll just one moment.
Oh, yes.
He goes and brings out three separate bottles, which he keeps from getting anywhere near the rest of the supplies here. And it doesn't take you more than a single passing smell of it then... You reach down and you find, yes, this is it. It's
is
a very,
this...
very small bottle. It's blue. Yeah. It has somewhat of a milky residue inside of it. It's very strange.
Is this a custom fragrance that you make here?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's a specific customer. Yes, he lives up on the hill there. He's one of our best customers, the Duke.
Oh. A duke indeed, really.
Oh, yes, and this is specifically to him. I must have passed him in the street and caught the scent.
Mm, yes, we make it for him, and he came in and gave our chemist here a specific list of chemicals that he needed, and we produced it.
Oh, goodness me.
He pays quite handsomely for it.
Oh, I'm sure a custom scent like that.
He must be a very well-educated man in such matters if he was able to give you the specific ingredients for a scent. I think it takes some degree of skill to be able to concoct it.
He didn't give it to us verbally. He had it on paper. And so I think he may have come across it in his travels.
Oh, I see. Well, I suppose if it's a very, very specific, particular scent for a particular customer, then I would imagine it's probably out of the reach of such as myself. I wonder what else you might be able to offer that perhaps has a similar aroma.
Oh, I have a couple others that are similar, although... Well, let me get them for you. The staff member turns and goes back into the back area.
It is without doubt, Miss Ballinger. It is without doubt the Duke. If it is custom made for him and him alone.
Staff member comes back and places two more bottles and then collects the three that they had originally brought out to place back. There's one here that has a bit of almost a citrus edge to it. That's quite nice.
Oh.
Well, do you like either of these, Mr. Fraser?
Well, yes, yes, I rather like the citrus one. What do you think?
Yes, it is. I do find it quite to my liking.
Oh, well, I'll take a bottle of that then, if you'd be so kind.
Absolutely.
Do you have, by any chance, you have a branch in London?
No, but we do have a chemist that goes to London at least twice a year to exchange and trade with other members of fragrance societies.
Oh, I see. Would you perhaps be able to point me in the right direction of a branch in London that I might be able to visit in the future in order to to purchase another bottle?
I have the card. I'll just get it for you and back.
Marvelous. Thank you very much indeed.
Staff member comes back out the third time with a white business card that lists a fragrance shop that they're at downtown in London.
Oh, splendid. Oh, yes, I know the area. Thank you. Well, you've been extremely kind and helpful.
Should I wrap this up for you then?
Oh, yes, please, if you would be so kind, dear.
I go and begin wrapping up. Maggie, there's quite a few scents in here, obviously, perfumes for ladies as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have the very traditional big plungers that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm only here for information.
That's fair. I just figured I would ask.
I like the scent of secrets.
Well, there's a few of them there. For sure. Of that, there's no doubt. So you collect your cologne, Mr. Fraser. You pay for it, although not, you know, exceedingly handsomely. It is an expensive scent, but within Mr. Fraser's reach.
I will tip the assistant as well, quite well, for all the help that they've given us.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Well, I'll bid you good day, and merci beaucoup.
Merci. Good day to you both.
And as we leave, I'll just kind of quietly say, thank you very much indeed, Miss Ballinger. That was extremely helpful. I feel we have made some progress here.
Yes, it seems strange, though, to tie the Duke to Lady Elizabeth's estate.
Indeed it does. And now that we have the address of the branch in London, I should hopefully be able to ascertain as to when a bottle of it may have been purchased there, or perhaps another member of the Duke's entourage that might have been part and parcel, because I find it hard to believe that the Duke himself would stoop so low as to break into a private residence and steal the items in question.
That must seem strange.
Well, shall we return to the hotel?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. I believe we have much to share with our companions.
If there's no objection, I'm going to make a soup out of the five of you.
Perfect.
So, Professor, you and Lady Elizabeth return from your book fair, I suppose, with your spoils of literary war. Simon, you have finished up with your phone calls at this point. And Miss Fraser, just by, a quick stop at a fragrancer, you smell fantastic as you get back to the hotel. And that is definitely something that Lady Elizabeth notices when he walks back in the room.
Oh, Mr. Fraser. Interesting assaults on the olfactory senses.
Yes, indeed, Your Ladyship. I think I shall retire to my room for a bath.
Yes, I'd love to hear more about whatever caused that later this evening.
Indeed you shall, Your Ladyship, because it does pertain to yourself.
Oh, my.
And with that, I shall take myself off to get changed, and I shall place my newly purchased chapeau on my dressing table, eye it suspiciously.
Fair enough. So you have a few hours left before before the event at the club. Is there anything else that the investigators would like to dig into before that?
Well, I need to see if Paul speaks German so he can help me with my book.
Maggie would be eager to speak with Lady Elizabeth and just fill her in on everything that she has missed while Maggie's been out.
I'm happy to do both. So?
Ah, Miss Bellinger.
Lady Elizabeth, yes. Well, I've had quite the day, and I couldn't wait to get back and share some of the information I've found out with you.
Judging by the scent, I gather you've been with Mr. Fraser in some undisclosed location.
Yes, well, that undisclosed location was a perfumery. I suppose I do have quite a few scents on me.
Didn't think that was Fraser's sort of thing, but all right.
Well, he was trying to track down a specific scent. In fact, the scent of the Duke, it was familiar to him from your estate. But that's neither here nor there. I wanted to talk to you.
That's neither here nor there. Excuse me?
Well, we can get to that, and I'm sure that Mr. Fraser can explain a little bit more. But I did want to talk to you about the scroll. I've learned a few more things about it.
Oh.
Yes, well, Mr. Wellington does have it in his possession, but he was intending to sell it to a duke. But now that we have come into play, there is to be a bidding war between us and the duke, though I don't know if that's our best course of action for getting it. But what I thought you would be particularly interested in was in my talks with the Duke. He showed me around town. He seemed amused that I wanted to just get information from the scroll, that I just wanted to read it. He said that it does something, and he seemed quite surprised that I didn't know what it does.
Does something? Did he say what?
No, he seemed to avoid that. I was hoping he would lead into it. He seemed to think I was foolish for not knowing what power the scroll had and thinking that it simply held information.
How dare he? Well, I'm intrigued. You've piqued my interest.
I was certain that it would.
Does Mr. Fraser know about this scroll doing something by any chance?
Yes, I did share that information once he caught up with me.
Oh dear. Well, I shall have to get it anyway. So,
I'm concerned that if it does something, it may fall in the wrong hands. I even told him that, you know, we wouldn't try to buy it out from under him if he would just show it to us, and he didn't seem pleased with that, so it must be something that he definitely does not want to share.
Well, I don't know that we'd be able to outbid him, not without spending all of our money, perhaps.
I agree.
So, what are you suggesting? A little light breaking and entering?
Well, I did have a heist in mind, but though that may be a plan B, Mr. Wellington seems like quite a reasonable man. In fact, he's he's currently caring for his brother. So I wonder if we may be able to buy it out from under the Duke through him, or even just get a chance to look at it to see if it's something we'd truly be interested in.
You do seem to have a lot of run-ins with interesting gentlemen, Miss Bellinger.
I certainly do. By the way, the bidding for the artifact is tonight at the 7:30 Club, which isn't actually the name of a club, it's just the time that they meet at the cafe.
And what time is it now?
It is approximately...
Well, it's 3 o'clock right now.
It's 3 o'clock, of course.
Well, you think you can convince him to let us have a look, at least?
Well, I don't know if I can. I'm not sure if this is better suited for you. He did seem like a very reasonable gentleman that is possibly giving up. Oh, I forgot. I told him about the arm.
You what?
I forgot. So Wellington has the scroll because he's very interested in finding the simulacrum, whereas the Duke was not interested at all in the simulacrum when I brought it up.
You Lady, you look very close to letting out a very un-English display of emotion.
Look, as I shared with Mr. Fraser, sometimes you have to share information to get information. So the Duke was not at all interested in the simulacrum, but just in the power of the scroll, whereas Mr. Wellington was very interested in the simulacrum, and I felt very bad for him. He's just trying to get by and care for his brother.
He's just trying to get by, and he's also interested in the simulacrum.
Yes, but it seemed like more from a historical standpoint, or as an artifact. I don't think he has ill intent, but I told him, I broke down and I told him, we have the arm, and maybe I could show you the arm and you can show me the scroll, and so maybe lead into it.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
That was exactly my thing.
Oh dear lord. Miss Bellinger, yes. You've got to stop telling every man you run across about what our mission is.
But, there was intent there, in terms of a little tit for tat.
Yes, but isn't the Duke working with the Turkish gentleman?
I was unaware of the Turkish gentleman. I was recently informed by Mr. Fraser of the Turkish gentleman. In fact, I think the Turkish gentlemen are working for the Duke.
That makes it worse, dear.
He has said he has many artifacts and he's a collector, so I guess if he does outbid us, our last resort, Plan C, if you will, maybe to break into his house. He lives up on the hill.
So, he told you that he wasn't really interested in the simulacrum, but he's also a collector of strange and mysterious artifacts. Did you ever consider the fact he might have been bluffing?
He said mostly books. It sounds a lot like you, actually.
I'm also mostly interested in books, yes, but I'm also following the trail of the simulacrum.
If he wanted to harm me, there were plenty of opportunities to do so, and he didn't.
Maybe because he doesn't know where the arm is?
Oh, he doesn't know that I have the arm. The other gentleman knows that I have the arm.
I'm starting to lose track of all your gentlemen, Miss Bellinger.
Oh, don't worry, I can keep them straight for you. So Mr. Wellington, who currently has the scroll, knows that I have the arm, and we briefly discussed a trade, but then he thought maybe we could have a bidding war. I'm starting to think that maybe he just wants to drive up the price of the scroll. The Duke does not know that we have the arm. He does know we know about the simulacrum, and he wants the scroll, and he has much more money than us.
Right. I think I've got that now. Thank you.
And I do not know the other members of the 730 Club.
Just refrain from informing other gentlemen whose acquaintance you might make about our mission and the simulacrum and the arm and all sorts of things. I'd rather not be stabbed in my bed, thank you.
I will take your advice into careful consideration.
Meaning you won't do it. I used that same line on my father multiple times. So, if we're going to speak to Mr. Wellington?
I suppose Wellington has the scroll, yes.
Yes, so, and he's the one who wants to see the arm?
Yes, and he wants money for the scroll.
But your idea is that we let him see the arm, and he might let us see the scroll?
Yes, exactly.
You know what the men are going to say about this, right?
But we don't have to tell them. But we might, should tell them. Ooh. You know, they maybe should be involved, but I'm not entirely sure.
We're not going anywhere without someone knowing where we're going.
We can tell Paul.
Paul?
Yes, we can tell him where we're going, and then when the boys come back to look for us, then he'll say, oh, they went back to Mr. Wellington's house.
Miss Bellinger, I would rather have some backup who knows what they're doing in terms of, say, fisticuffs or using a firearm, just in case we get ourselves into trouble, considering we now have two men who know that we have interest in the scroll and in the simulacrum, and one of them who knows that we have a piece of it. I would prefer to be prepared, and I don't know about you, but I'm not very good hands with a gun or with a walking stick.
Well, now that you mention it, I did forget, but I thought we might overwhelm him, but Mr. Wellington already knows that I know Richard and that we both know Simon. As we were all in his shop.
So he know...
Richard broke in and then Simon followed.
So he... God in heaven.
See, he locked the door behind me when I went in. And it was not because it was for his brother's safety, not because he was of ill intent, but Richard didn't know that. So Richard broke in, fearing for my safety, but I was completely fine. And then I believe Simon, also fearing for both my safety and Richard's safety, followed in after us. So it wouldn't be far-fetched for me to also introduce you and Mr. Fraser.
Neither of them told me about that part. The whole world is going to know all of us are working together and what we're doing before the week is out.
Fame. Do you think that's possibly the best course of action? We could grab the arm and head over to Wellington's before the 7:30 club meets?
How about we speak to the other members of our party first, considering this does affect them?
Yes, that is a good point. We can certainly loop them in.
I know on your side of the pond you tend to go charging about and doing things without thinking about them first, but that's not how we operate on the continent.
Time did seem of the essence, with it being sold off tonight. I didn't think there was a moment to waste, but we do have a little bit of time now, a few hours, so perhaps we could chat with the gentleman and then decide our course of action from there, whether it is dealing with Wellington or outbidding the Duke or breaking and entering.
Yes, well, I don't think we should be bringing Mr. Griffith with us, considering the... he had a little run-in with the police earlier. But perhaps Mr. Fraser, Professor, or at least the Professor, I suppose he could hit them over the head with a briefcase if he needed to.
And Mr. Fraser did tail us, but I don't believe that he was seen.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, he did cause a commotion. He was possibly seen by the Turkish gentleman.
Oh, is he the one with the Roman shield in the museum?
Yes.
Ah, yes, that makes sense. Very well. Let's lay out the plan fairly quickly, and if there's any flaws in it, they can perhaps let us know. And perfect. Then we need to get moving, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay. The two of you exit the bedroom where you were having the conversation with, back into the more main open area of the rooms.
Ah, recovered from your sensory experience, Mr. Fraser?
Ah, yes, your ladyship. Nothing quite like a good hot bath. I feel much more myself now.
Glad to hear it. So we may need to make another little venture out this evening before we go to the 7:30 club.
Do we have time?
Miss Bellinger?
Yes?
What is our plan?
That is what we are here to decide, whether it would be best to deal directly with Wellington, show him the arm so that he will show us the scroll. Sorry, Mr. Fraser, we hadn't conveyed that to you earlier. Wellington knows I have the arm. He has the scroll. So whether we do that, or we try to outbid the Duke, or we let the Duke win and then we break into his house.
So, if I understand this correctly, Miss Ballinger, Mr. Wellington knows that we have the arm of the Sirikvaros Simulacrum.
Yes.
And you are proposing that we either try and obtain the scroll from him prior to the auction, or that should the Duke win the scroll in the auction, that we then make our way towards his residence, which is no doubt highly guarded and difficult to get into, break in, steal the scroll, and then abscond with it.
Yes.
Evading however many Turkish gentlemen we should encounter en route.
Yes, but one slight correction is we wouldn't be obtaining the scroll for showing him the arm. We would just be showing each other a little show and tell, because I believe he needs the money to take care of his brother.
If I might interject.
Oh, Professor Courtney, I didn't see you there.
I think we could pay this Edgar Wellington a visit before the 7:30 club. And I suggest that we ask him if we can see the scroll first. Say that we have a collector who would be very interested in paying more money, but we'd have to guarantee its authenticity before we went to the auction. So we need to see it before the auction so that we can give him more money.
Why not take a simpler, more direct route?
That's true. I certainly don't want anything bad to happen to Mr. Wellington.
Why don't we offer Mr. Wellington a sum of money to take a photograph of the scroll, and then allow it to go to auction as intended?
Yes, that was my thought, showing him the arm, but we could possibly show him the arm and give him the money, and that will even sweeten the deal, because the arm alone didn't seem to be enough.
Ah, you could take the photo with your camera.
Yes, I certainly can.
That is the usual implement for taking photographs.
And then we can get it developed so someone else can see it.
But how do we know that taking a photograph of this scroll is actually going to do what we need it to do? As your Duke seemed to think that it's the scroll itself that has the power.
It did seem that way. He said something about what the scroll does, but it could be some sort of ritual written onto the scroll. Perhaps we could just transcribe it?
Well, Your Ladyship, this is very much your domain, if I'm not mistaken. With any luck, you should be able to ascertain when we see the scroll whether it is the writings on the scroll that are the pertinent and more important part, or the actual physical scroll itself.
This is true. Very well. I suppose this is what we're doing.
There's never any harm in having a good conversation with somebody.
I agree, Richard.
I have to say, I'm most keen if this scroll does contain important information regarding the simulacrum. I'm most keen for it not to fall into the hands of the Duke, if at all possible, because quite what his intentions are with it, I don't really like to think. The manner of these Turkish gentlemen, their behaviour and their actions in the past lead me to the inevitable conclusion that their intent is not an admirable one, it's not a good one. And if they are working for the Duke, then...
Well, perhaps we go, we have a look at it, and I can see what the potential problems would be, and perhaps we could convince Mr. Wellington that it's in his best interest to sell it to us, rather than let it go to auction and let the Duke have it.
Yes, I mean, perhaps, is it worth...
We could also always bring Paul and have Paul take a look at the brother for free, so, you know, some free medical care or recommendations, you know, if he's trying to get help for his brother.
Well, yes, that could sweeten the deal in our favor a bit.
Well, we don't have to bring Paul with us right away, but we can say, you know, we have a medical professional traveling with us, and we could have him examine the young man. So, we have options.
Yes.
Perhaps if we could impress upon Mr. Wellington the potential danger in the Duke's obtaining of the scroll, perhaps he can be persuaded to part with the scroll outside of the auction.
I believe there is potential danger if Mr. Wellington doesn't part with the scroll.
But he should part with it to us, is the thing.
Yes, we can maybe defend ourselves better than he can, but I feel that if he doesn't, with the Duke having his eyes set on the scroll now, the Duke may take it from him by force.
Well, this is all a bit of a moot point until we know what's in the scroll, so I suggest we go and have this conversation with Mr. Wellington and get it over with, so to speak, and then we can decide how to proceed from there.
If you will excuse me for a few moments, Lady Elizabeth, Miss Ballinger, Mr. Professor, I do beg your pardon, Professor Courtney, I'm just going to pop upstairs and take a look in on Mr. Griffith, because I believe he injured himself earlier on today. I just want to make sure he's all right.
Yes, of course.
So I'm going to head upstairs.
You should probably stay here and rest anyway.
I come back in the room as you're heading out.
Ah, oh, Mr. Griffith, there you are. I thought we'd lost you there for a moment.
I think it's not a bad idea if I accompany you. It sounds like you're all walking into the lion's mouth here.
Can I ask what that is you're carrying?
Are you sure you're up to the task?
This is insurance.
You can see that he has a large suitcase in his hand.
Is this your American brand of insurance, Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
I rather thought so.
I think you may need a smaller insurance policy, a less noticeable one.
This is in triplicate.
What do we need with an insurance policy in triplicate, Mr. Griffith?
I click the suitcase open and I turn it around to face them.
Oh, dear Lord.
Ah, insurance.
Did you open it?
Yes, I did.
So inside the suitcase, crafted and taken apart, is, some sort of weapon for most of you. But for, say, someone like James Roger Fraser, who served in World War I, that's a Thompson. It's a machine gun.
Is that what I think it is, Mr. Griffith?
It is what you think it is, sir. Insurance.
And I won't ask. I won't ask how you got your hands on one of those.
I told you I'm working for people.
Well, yes, but do you really think that this is the appropriate circumstance for such a large insurance policy with so many clauses?
Well, considering that Jim and I saw a total of at least four Turks following the Duke, I don't see you with a pistol, ma'am. Miss Maggie can take care of herself. She's a feisty little firecracker in her own way. But the professor also couldn't punch his way out of a wet paper bag.
No, that's true.
A little flicker of amusement runs across James's eyes.
I could always hit someone with my stick.
No insult intended, Professor. But you're not a fighting individual.
No, I fear you're right.
Good Lord, you hear from across the room. What is that?
Did you forget Paul was here?
No, but Paul better know he's already heard that, you know, we're following people, that there's dukes involved, and I fell downstairs. And he might as well know.
I'll have a quiet word with him, your ladyship.
He comes over.
What is it with you people and telling everyone who's around everything about our business?
Paul is entitled to know our business, Lady E.
Paul is our traveling companion.
It's more the cumulative effect.
you have to understand, Lady E, we're talking about situations which may involve bullet holes in some of us.
Paul's eyes get really big.
Who's going to be digging out the bullets? Paul.
I'm not saying it's a problem with telling Paul. It's more the fact that every time someone walks past, one of you two seems to be informing someone about what we're doing.
Who have I told?
Sometimes it's necessary to share information to get information.
Who do I tell? I would love to hear this, Lady E.
What are you planning on doing with that? You see him get turned away by Mr. Fraser. They step away from the scene.
Mr. Maverhaven, if I might have a quiet wee word in your ear.
Oh, yes. Is that a machine gun?
Let's find a wee quiet spot. There's much to tell you.
Okay, the two of you are going to go off camera for a moment, so continue the rest of you.
Well, Paul needs to know, I suppose, but he might just up and leave after seeing that insurance policy, which I wouldn't blame him necessarily. Can you close that? Put that thing away.
I will close it up. That's not a problem. But my concern is, we are dealing with someone with a lot of money who doesn't have scruples about hiring individuals who are shady. Is this not correct?
Yes, it's correct, but do you really think it's going to go over well with the local gendarmes if you pull out that insurance policy and start shooting people in the middle of Lausanne? Do you have a contact here who can get you out of trouble if you suddenly get hauled off to the police station for shooting up a bunch of people with a Tommy gun?
Nope, I do not.
My point exactly.
But on the other hand, my view on it is, here, I may go to jail for shooting up a bunch of people with a Tommy gun, correct? But if I take care of these four or more Turkish gentlemen in doing it,
That leaves the rest of you to continue on, unless they pull all their guns and shoot us because I did not have a Tommy gun on me.
I don't even know where to begin with that statement.
I think I follow the logic. Basically, we're in danger, and it's better to have a gun than not to have a gun.
Yes, but does it have to be such a large, scary one?
I don't know. I mean, I...
That is likely to get noticed. Don't you have something smaller?
I have a couple rifles, but they don't fit down my... Don't fit inside my coat as easily, or into a briefcase.
I don't want to know how many weapons you have on this trip. Forget I asked.
How many fingers you got?
So, Paul and you, Mr. Fraser, step away, kind of out into the hall, perhaps, or onto the veranda.
Yes, I think onto
somewhere
the
other than here. And he takes out a pack of cigarettes and lights a smoke.
I will be there with a flame even before he's got the box of matches out of his pocket.
Mm. Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. Wow. Yes. So, what is it you say you did again?
Yes, I appreciate that must have come as something of a shock to you, and I do apologize that it came out of the blue in that way. What you should know, Mr. Maverhaven, is that myself and my traveling companions, we have something of an undertaking on our journeys on the Orient Express. And, not to put too fine a point on it, may involve our encounters with certain individuals who may not have our best interests at heart. Certain dangerous individuals.
Hey, I'm all for people defending themselves. I totally get that. I mean, it's your right to make sure that, you know, I mean, obviously as an assistant to Lady Elizabeth, I'm sure in some way you protect her from people who might want to do her ill. That makes total sense. Total sense.
Of course, of course. But there is a little more to it than that, though.
There's a suitcase full, evidently. He takes another long pull on the cigarette.
Indeed, suitcases. Yes. Well, in general terms, we have been set on a path by an acquaintance of the professor's to obtain certain historical artifacts in order that we can avoid certain events from occurring. And it is very important that we locate these artifacts. We locate them before other concerned parties do so. Now, we believe that there is a strong possibility we have identified one of those other parties here in Lausanne. Mr. Griffith, who has a certain amount of training and experience in these matters, he has brought what I believe he refers to as insurance against any impediment to our procuring these particular artifacts and preventing them from falling into other parties' hands. Are you with me so far?
Yeah, I understand, I think.
Whilst we were in France, we did also run afoul of certain political factions who have somewhat extreme views. And I believe that, one of the parties that may be interested in the items that we are also seeking may have connections with these strong arm parties. And, not to put too fine a point on it, if we do not obtain these items before they do, then a great number of people may come to harm. That is our belief. Now, I quite understand if this is all a little too much for you, if this is perhaps a little more than you were expecting when you joined our party. I would be not in the least bit surprised if you were to bid us farewell and travel on your way. But I have to say, you have certainly proved yourself to be a very reliable and shall I say, a beneficial member of the party, and I, for one, would be sad to see you go, but as I say, I would quite understand if you did decide to do so.
All right, that is literally textbook persuade, so please go ahead and give that to me. Yes, we're running around with machines gun. Please, please, please don't leave.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking for a really good roll here. Oh my god, I'm going to spend 3 luck and make it. So I got 13 over 10.
Very well.
We get to keep our Paul.
he steadies himself with another pull off of this cigarette and says, I understand that, I had a feeling this, back at Charrington when people were trying to steal files and whatnot, I kind of figured that this was maybe a little bit of a different sort of situation. So I'll just say this. I'm happy to continue on. The Lady Elizabeth has paid for, she's done me a great service. And accompanying me on, letting me accompany them, you on this trip, and then of course, the professor and Miss Bellinger assisted with getting me out of that place, which was something I'm very grateful for. But I don't know how many of you know the full extent of what that weapon does on the receiving end, and I do. And so I just want to be clear that I would really hope that none of you end up on the receiving end of it at all.
If it's any reassurance to you... I
don't know if I'd be able to save you.
No, I quite understand. If it's any reassurance to you, both Mr. Griffith and I know full well exactly what that weapon is capable of.
All right, well, I don't mean to sound... I don't mean it to unman me at all, Mr. Fraser. It's just... When you see it bandied about so easily, I think people forget what terror it can bring.
I understand.
Sometimes we're a little too quick to play with guns overseas.
Yes, I won't pry, but I can see this cuts deep with you. So, I would not myself have brought it into a public company in such a way, but Mr. Griffith is his own man.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to have another and try to steady myself here. He pulls out another cigarette.
I'll give you a few moments of reflection in your own company, and it's good to have you along with us, sir. And I'll just extend my hand to shake his.
He shakes your hand. You feel like you've steadied Paul quite a bit. He was a little white at the gills there for a minute, seeing the weapon, but he seems to have come back around during your chat.
And I'll head back in to join the others.
So...
Is he okay, Mr. Fraser?
He's a little shaken, Mr. Griffith. He's a little shaken, but I think he's going to be all right.
I am putting this on the table because we need cards on the table for what is potentially a very dangerous situation. And I don't want people to be surprised if a machine gun goes off. The key thing here is this is insurance. Do I want to use this? Absolutely not.
Don't you think it's a little bit suspicious carrying something that size around, though? I mean...
Is it really, if we're supposed to be paying for things with money?
I suppose. Are you going to tell him it's a big suitcase full of cash?
Well, don't we have one of those already?
Yes, and it'll be suspicious if we bring two of them.
Yes.
We are trying to outbid him.
I think perhaps what Mr. Griffith is trying to say is that those who carry large sums of cash around with them in public also carry significant protection for that cash.
So are we the Mafia now?
No.
I read about them in the papers. You're Chicago Mafia.
I've never been there.
I think we definitely need to remember that the professor back in London was probably burned by these gentlemen with the fezzes. There were several of them at the Challenger lectures, and yes, I think I Yes, we would be right to be very careful.
Very well. If you're going to bring the giant insurance policy, bring the giant insurance policy. Just don't be surprised if I distance myself from you when the police show up. That's all I'm saying.
As I said, this is entirely possible, and if I need to, I will fall for the group.
Yes, well, let's hope you don't have to do that quite literally. Are we going?
If I have to, I have to.
Should we set out then to speak to Wellington first?
I believe that was the plan.
Paul comes back in.
Paul, glad to see you're still with us.
Well, one moment, I'll retrieve the arm from wherever I have it stashed away.
It's not a real arm, Paul. We're not quite that grotesque.
Oh, good.
This is one of the artifacts that I was speaking of.
Mag, you go and collect the arm.
Paul, as a man of medical science, have there been any cases in your research where, never mind.
Cases what?
Nothing. Never mind. Because Maggie just realized that only Richard knows that the arm hurts her.
No, I'm genuinely interested.
Nothing. It's likely I would imagine it would be a psychosomatic case. If someone felt connected to an object of some sort, physically or spiritually or anything like that.
Lady E's eyebrows are going towards her hairline.
But I was just curious, for future reference, it's great to have you around. Paul, we should be going, though.
Paul's a bit befuddled. He doesn't understand what's just happened here. Between the machine gun and the psychosomatic stuff, he's a bit lost. And so he kind of scratches his head. I suppose someone could feel a physical connection. Sure, the brain does all sorts of stuff.
Yes, that's what I thought. We know so little about it.
It's a fascinating organ.
It really truly is. Well, shall we be going then?
Where are you going off to?
We're going to go visit a gentleman about acquiring a scroll.
We're going to see a man about a dog.
Oh.
Are we bringing suitcases to this situation?
Well, I believe we're bringing at least one suitcase. Or maybe just the promise of a suitcase.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, do we need cash on hand for this transaction?
Possibly, yes. That would be a good idea. Our first bartering point is the arm, looking at it. And then our second bartering point would be cash. And then our third bartering point will be medical care.
I have an idea. How about...
medical care?
I met a gentleman that may be of ill health, and so we're just going
concerned.
To chat. Yes, but don't worry. I think he's okay. His brother's been taking care of him, so we're just going to check in on his brother. And if we need you, Paul, if something is terribly wrong, we will call for you.
Oh, all right then.
Do you wish to go ahead to see this Wellington gentleman? And I'll stay here with both suitcases, and you can call me if you need me?
That's a good idea. Please don't. You're not walking into that shop with a suitcase.
Well, this time doesn't sound like it's a matter of a suitcase. Meeting the Duke sounds like a matter of a suitcase.
Yes, this is why I was very confused as to why you brought out your giant insurance policy. So we're going to see an old man about an arm.
Oh.
I was referring to the 7:30 club.
So if we're going to make it to the 7:30 club, we should probably go and see Mr. Wellington first.
I agree.
Paul pulls out his book and says, like this little notebook that he keeps in his pocket and says, and you hear him just over the din of the conversation say, suitcase equals machine gun. And then closes it and puts it back in his pocket.
Paul's only 50% right, though, because suitcase also means money, a lot of money.
So, Mr. Griffith, if you and Paul will stay here and keep an eye on the suitcases...
Professor, hand me your case, please. We might as well keep them together.
Yes, that's probably the best.
All right, so the four of us are going to go. Paul and Mr. Griffith, you can stay here, and hopefully we don't get killed.
So, Paul, how good are you at treating dynamite injuries?
We're going to leave it there. So thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Horror on the Orient Express. As you can tell, things are going smashingly well for our investigators in Lausanne, and we cannot wait to see you in the next episode. So for now, it's goodbye from us, but we will return shortly.